Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 245 of your favorite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week to review what might well be the race of the season. Silverstone has delivered once again. And first of all, as I'm sure any of our kind of regular listeners will know, Jamie183, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I enjoyed the race quite a lot yesterday. Anyone who is new around here, I've been glazing Nico Hülkenberg for the last 5 years on this podcast.
At least, yeah, on this podcast.
And more than that, as a Formula One fan, and had to put up with so much rubbish when he crashed out of Hockenheim, or when he
crashed out in Brazil, or ran out of air.
And finally,
there's been quite a few.
Finally, when he qualified last on the grid, only to finish P3. I honestly, the last 20, no. As soon as he passed Stroll, what was that? Midway through the race? Sorry, spoilers. midway through the race, I was just so unbelievably stressed. And to do it on Lewis Hamilton's home turf, ending his podium streak, holding him off in a Sauber against the Ferrari. Unbelievable stuff. Oh, I've watched back the end of the race so many times. Recording this Monday morning. The race finished less than 24 hours ago. I probably watched it 15 times already.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. I mean, that is the huge spoiler, isn't it? But let's be fair, anybody that's tuned in, if you haven't seen the race, go back and watch it in full, because I think, again, we've probably there seen race of the season, haven't we?
It was unbelievable. And it was a little stop-start towards the beginning, but the weather, the mixed conditions, how heavy the rain was at some stages, and then always a wet-to-dry race is something special, because
it's either special or terrible.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But when it's a track you can pass at, it's usually pretty good.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, Silverstone as well, isn't it? Once again, just proves that it can deliver. We actually forgot to talk about this in last week's preview show, Jamie, because it was, again, one of those things that happens after we recorded but before the show went live. There are apparently talks that Silverstone is negotiating a potential... Oh, no, we did briefly talk about it, didn't we?
We did talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, a potential lifetime contract, which I think, again, this weekend, you know, 500,000 people showed up over the course of the weekend. It makes a strong case for it, doesn't it?
Yeah. If any track's going to get it, it would be Silverstone, realistically.
Surely. Surely.
Just, yeah, the birthplace of Formula One, the first race was there. It just delivers a 7 out of 10, like, most years.
At least.
The last, what was the last bad race, would you say? Like, 22? No, probably like 2017, to be honest.
All of the ground effect era races have been good. 2021 was great.
Massive crash.
2020 was good. Or both 2020s were good in very different ways. 2019 was great. 2018?
Hamilton's comeback, wasn't it? When Vettel won?
Yep. Yeah, 2017 Hamilton winning again.
But that was a little bit.
Yeah, it was a slightly calmer one.
We're getting on for 10 British Grand Prix or 70th anniversaries.
Was 2017 the year where both Ferraris got punctures late on?
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah.
So even that was quite dramatic. 2016 was good.
Wet to dry.
2015 was when the Williams were on fire early on and they bottled it. 2014 was Rosberg
DNFing.
Disappointment.
He would have won, but you know, no one talked about that.
2013 was Seb breaking down.
And all the punctures.
And all the punctures. Silverstone just reliably just delivers.
Crazy stuff.
If it's not a great battle on track, at least it's pretty much always got a good narrative.
And there's
drama. Something going on.
Yeah.
There is always drama. It is fantastic. And it looked like this weekend, Jamie, as we dive straight into free practice. Ferrari, unfortunately, didn't quite showcase it right through the rest of the weekend in typical Ferrari fashion. But we spoke about it after Austria. The upgrades on that car do seem to have worked, don't they? Because they were looking quick in the dry.
Yeah, they certainly look like they could get in the mix with the McLarens. And yeah, I think Hamilton and Leclerc topped one session each in free practice.
Yes.
And yeah, people going into qualifying were like, we could have a six-way fight for pole, which was not that far off the mark, really, because you have obviously both McLarens, both Ferraris. You can never count out Max, even if the car was absolutely horrendous in pre-practice. And then George Russell was looking good, and the temperatures were supposedly dropping come Saturday, so that always helps a Mercedes out. So, yeah, we could be in for a good run of races if it's cold weather and not high deck.
Yeah, potentially so. We'll have to obviously wait and see. I mean, Ferrari is still second in the constructors, aren't they, at the moment? It might well be that we kind of, throughout the second half of the season, of course, a lot can change over the summer break, obviously. But it might well be that we kind of see Ferrari just wrap that up, which sensibly they should, that P2 and the constructors, because they are the only other top team with two decent drivers at the moment. I know Antonelli's still learning, of course.
Yeah, but he's not
obviously whatever we want to say about that Red Bull. He's consistent, normally a consistent point scorer, usually. He's been quite unlucky as well. But it's normally that he's off the back of that group. Yeah. I think it's the thing for him. He has had a lot of bad luck, though, in that time.
Yeah.
A couple of mechanical failures. Yeah, I mean, this weekend he got absolutely wiped out as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the only other real drama, wasn't it, was, of course, obviously, you know, I think a lot of us expect to see Lando Norris fight for his first win at Silverstone. George Russell obviously did really well here last year until the car ran out of water. Obviously, you can never count out Lewis Hamilton as well. So the Brits were looking pretty good. Ollie Bearman was kind of the unknown quantity. And he actually looked quite quick, but also was a little bit of a moron, wasn't he?
Oh, massively. And, yeah, under red flags, the Bortoletto crashed. Well, he didn't even crash, really. He just spun and it ripped the suspension off. Maybe he was practicing for a well-timed safety car in the race. And then Ollie Bearman, under red flag, for not the first time this season, was just a bit of an idiot. And coming into the pit lane, he was trying to practice his pit entry, I presume. So he was speeding up to full speed to then brake. But because he's done, you know, most of a lap at low speed under red flag, his brakes were just not up to temperature in the slightest. And he just locked up and spun and crashed into the pit entry. And it was a really, really silly thing to do. Max Verstappen was finding it hilarious on the radio, which, to be fair, was quite funny. And
from Max's onboard, yeah.
Yeah. But it netted Bearman 4 penalty points. And now, is he up to 7
4 penalty
now?
Points. He's on quite a few, isn't he? Yeah.
He's
I mean,
got
Monaco,
more penalty
I
points than real points. I know that.
Yeah, Monaco, I mean, he was a bit unlucky with that penalty. But here, it was slammed up, wasn't it? Another 10-place grid drop. But of course, you know, as we got into qualifying, he did look very quick still. And of course, as you get into the race, as we later went on to find out, anything could happen. Moving into qualifying, though, Jamie, one thing that was almost guaranteed. We spoke about it pre-weekend, didn't we? That there were two multiple race winners, one of them being a world champion, potentially looking to go back to Alpine in the near future. I think it's safe to say, Colo Pinto, time's up, really, isn't it? Or time is ticking
and
rapidly.
It looked like he knew it on the post-race interviews that he did.
There was no post-race for him. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
But he crashed out in Q1.
Halfway through the session. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a really silly error, really. Like, just lighting up the traction out of Vail and spinning in Sonny Hayes style. Not great for Colo Pinto. And when, you know, it looked like an upturn in Q2, Canada? What was it? Or Canada, Austria? One of the
Austria,
races.
No, Austria didn't. It was Canada. He was, yeah. Canada, he was kind of there on kind of the way the strategies were working out.
And if Canada performance translated for the following two races, you're like, okay, he's turned a corner. He's on the way up. But sadly, it's just regressed back to how he was in Imola and Monaco and Spain. So, yeah, it's a shame. And the Argentinians will be very sad about it. But,
well, they'll be throwing abuse and blaming everybody else.
Yeah,
if,
exactly.
If Twitter's anything to go by.
Probably. But I think they need to get a proper known quantity in there. So Valtteri Bottas looks like he'll be on his way back, probably for Belgium, because we've got, 3 weeks until Belgium, haven't we? So
yeah, we've got 2 weekends off, weirdly, haven't we? We've got a mini summer break before the summer break, yeah. Which is really
also,
stupid.
Also, Silverstone going into Belgium feels wrong on a calendar, but we've spoken
it
about that many
feels
times.
Utterly sickening, doesn't it? But that's just where we're at now in Formula 1. I mean, it is that question, isn't it? Because, of course, Alpine haven't come out really and said anything about it yet, but you're kind of there going, the writing's on the wall, it's just a question of when. I think, sensibly, you want to lob Bottas in ready for Belgium. Give him a couple of races before the summer break just to get acclimatised with the team, everything like that, because it then gives you that chance during the summer break to be able to kind of work out all the processes and everything else. They might keep Colapinto to him, but I cannot see him being in that car ready for Zandvoort. Surely not.
I think he's gone for Belgium. I'd be
probably
amazed.
Yeah.
I'd be amazed if he's there for Zandvoort. Yeah, the only question for Alpine is, do they go Bottas or do they go Paul Aaron? But I think they probably go Bottas.
You would think so, wouldn't you? At this point, you're kind of there going, all the rookies they're bringing in just aren't working anymore.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would be targeting Bottas to then be looking at keeping him for next year.
I think, I can't remember which Sky presenter it was, but someone interviewed Toto before the race asking about Bottas and basically was like, would you, like, what's the situation? And Toto was like, we love Valtteri. If there's a seat available, he's good enough to drive it, so we'll let him go quite easily. And it sounds like...
Yeah, I can't see him ever putting up a fight for
him. No, it sounds like Mercedes are happy for him to go and drive the Alpine. And,
I mean, it's pretty much the best case scenario, isn't it? When you're happy with your driver lineup and someone else wants to buy your reserve driver out. It's
a
fantastic free hit of cash, to be honest, which is
great.
There
will be loads
for...
of cash in a red.
No, it won't be loads, but it's more than they get. Obviously, it'll be no longer on your payroll.
Yeah.
You can probably still call him back if you ever needed him. It works out pretty nicely, doesn't it?
Isn't he currently reserved for Mercedes and McLaren? So I wonder what they'll do with that.
McLaren and Mercedes have a bizarre working relationship where they can basically poach each other's drivers for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, they figured out a system that basically means they can just take who they want from each other out of the reserves
Alex
if
Dunn,
they need to. Yeah, exactly. I can't see either of them needing to, but yeah, it's a really odd system that's kind of worked out fantastically. But yeah, Bottas, I think we'll probably see him making a move, won't we? Bottas' former teammate, though, Lewis Hamilton... I had to watch qualifying on catch-up because I was out during qualifying. I was so nervous, man, towards the end of Q1.
Yeah, Ferrari being Ferrari very nearly messed it up at Silverstone for Hamilton. And it was so dumb because the red flag basically meant you had, 6 or 7 minutes left at the end? So
you could rush two runs.
You could get two laps if you fueled for two laps, which a lot of the drivers did, actually. But the Sauber didn't, which was frustrating. And neither did Lewis Hamilton. By the time the flag was falling, they were all back in the pit lane. And Hamilton was like 11th at that point. And then
he was like 12th,
else...
and there were like two cars out, and then everybody else was on improvements.
Yeah.
Because it was basically Hamilton and the Saubers back in the pit lane.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, they're definitely out. It's like, who's going to improve and put Lewis out in Q1 as well?
It really could have happened. It wasn't far off.
No. I mean, it was so tight in Q1, wasn't it? From the top runners.
What was
like,
it?
Down to about
seven,
P13.
I think it was
7/10.
7/10 was the whole grid down to Colapinto.
Like, yeah, excluding
ridiculous.
Franco. Yeah. Madness. Absolute madness. But Hamilton would sneak by just ahead of Lawson, Bortoletto. Stroll also out, Hulk, and obviously Colapinto out in last place. Q2 was a little less dramatic, wasn't it? No really... kind of major surprises there. Sainz, Tsunoda, right, Hadjar, Albon, and Esteban Ocon.
Shout out Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, shout out Pierre Gasly. Did very well again to get that car into Q3. I wonder if they do... I don't know, he did score points in the race, didn't he? Spoiler
good
alert.
Points.
So,
yeah.
He did do very well. But then as we got into Q3, didn't we, JB? Like we said, this six-car fight at the front really did kind of materialise. And after Verstappen had struggled all weekend with the car, Red Bull basically, in hindsight, is a beautiful thing. But by giving him a car that could hang on for pole, basically screwed him over, didn't they? Don't get me wrong, it was an absolutely fantastic lap. But car was basically set up to do one lap, hang on the ragged edge, have ridiculously good straight line speed. Yeah. And their hope was just that it was never going to rain and it would just be a bit of a miracle.
Did you see the Amazon AWS corner profile stat thing?
He was losing like half a second in the slow corners, wasn't he?
So he was fastest on the straights. He was fastest in the high speed corners. And he was 18th.
Approaching him with more speed.
He was 18th fastest in the low speed corners, which to be fair, there's only, what, four? Like the Loop and Brooklands. But
yeah, and even then you can't really count the second two as low speed because, of course, you haven't had a chance to build up speed, have you? I know you wouldn't go through it very quickly.
But yeah, it was a ridiculous lap. And I just loved how the commentators, certainly on F1 TV and the highlights, were like, Piastri's on pole. And then Verstappen just comes across the middle sector split 3/10 up.
Yeah,
it's like, how has he done that?
Like we said, it was a very, very good lap. But again, you know, hindsight is a beautiful thing. And the fact that almost immediately it feels like we're kind of having to turn this back on, you know, the systematic problems that Red Bull have got at the moment. You know, they were struggling so much in free practice that it was very much, we need to give Max something worth having because, you know, it might well be that Toto sends him a message Saturday night.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Going, oh, that car didn't look that great in qualifying either, mate. So they had to give him something. And then, of course, it's a fantastic excuse as you get into the race, isn't it? Of, well, we can't change the setup.
Because we have pole position.
Exactly.
And park firmly, you know, the rules.
Exactly. Like we say, it was a fantastic lap by Max. Oscar, I think that mistake at the final corner cost him time, but I don't think cost him position in the end. It just
Hamilton
meant that, obviously,
same could have been second, I think.
I think Hamilton could have gotten to that front row had he not ran slightly wide, but of course then had Oscar not made the mistake, I think the McLaren was still quicker.
I think everyone below Verstappen probably thought they should have done better.
It was one of those ones where it could have gone either way, wasn't it? I mean, it was a fantastic end to qualifying.
Yeah.
The fact we did have 6 cars legitimately in that fight. Russell just kind of appeared in P4.
Yeah.
In the fantastic lap by him.
He used tyres first lap, didn't he? The both Mercedes were in the bottom 4 of Q3. And then the new tyres, Russell just turned up. He was briefly second, wasn't he, before Piastri and Verstappen did their laps. And
I thought he ended up third. I think Piastri didn't improve on his final run. I think Norris just split them in the end. Yeah.
But even so, good session for the Brits. Excellent session for the Dutch. Good stuff.
And it set us up ready, obviously, for the Grand Prix as well, didn't it? Which, all the talk had been all weekend of, you know, it was a 30% chance of rain. It was a 40% chance of rain. You get to Sunday morning, and I say, for you, I'm sure it's irrelevant, but for me, I live about an hour and a half ahead of Silverstone in terms of the weather. So it was kind of like what we were getting. No, but 99% of the time it blows obviously from the Atlantic.
Yeah.
So obviously it blows and sweeps across. So I was like, oh, this could actually be fascinating because we were getting quite a lot of weather in the morning.
Tons of rain in the morning, yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, and I would say, I watched F3 and F2 and F3 got red flagged.
F3 was mental.
Yeah, because half the drivers started on dries and half them started on wets, and the wets was the way to go. And then they never gave anyone a chance to recover because they red flagged it because it got to half distance. F2 then was pretty good as well. Jack Crawford should have been disqualified, but there we are.
I haven't actually seen it yet. What did he do?
He you know, obviously in F2, you cannot do your mandatory pit stop under VSC.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a dumb rule anyway, but I can understand it. He'd crossed over the pit lane entry line, but wasn't in the pit lane when the VSC was called.
Oh, interesting.
So, by the letter of the law, it should have been...
It should not have counted.
Not have counted. But kind of by the ethics of the law, did.
I'm glad they didn't disqualify him for that. That would have been a bit harsh.
Yeah, but it was kind of one of those ones where actually the other teams go, well, he didn't follow the rule state. That shouldn't have counted. But anyway, that's a story for another day. Exactly. Rule 64-2-B clearly states. But yeah, I mean, as we got into the Grand Prix, though, didn't we, Jamie? All the teams... Well, they were forced to start on inters, which a lot of people thought was the wrong call. Actually turned out to be the right choice anyway. But most of the teams go, like, we're going to see rain about, like, lap 10, lap 12. That's going to be a small downpour, like last year. And then there's going to be a bigger downpour around lap 20. Silverstone just cooks. What is it about a beautiful July day in the UK that brings so much rain?
Yeah, you'd have thought doing it in July would mean we get mostly good weather.
Never forget the one British Grand Prix in April, back in like 2000.
Yeah. We should make it in January so that you're just racing the sun.
It's just soggy.
Mercedes would cook on the 0 degree weather.
That would be, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, -3, it's snow.
the weather made it very, very interesting. To be fair to the dry pitters, in hindsight, it didn't work. But had there not been a ton of...
I can understand why they went for it, yeah.
Like, the problem for them was there was 20-25 minutes of dry weather, which in full racing conditions is, what, 10 laps? You know, that's enough time.
More than that, 25 minutes.
Yeah, true.
Silverstone's only a minute and a half.
Oh, yeah. Even so, like, 15-20 laps then. And... Yeah. The problem for them was, of that 25 minutes, 15 of it was under a safety car. So all of the time they could have made up was just kind of wasted under a safety car because people kept crashing.
And it was far more difficult for them to build up temperature again because it was quite cold and it was still slick.
And it was very wet. At the end of the day. Like, it's not like a Brazil, for instance, where the track dries in 2 minutes because it's really hot. It's still... the UK, sadly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's still an 18-degree day in Northampton.
So take a second for the track to dry up.
Yeah. As you mentioned, though, of course, we had quite a few crashes, didn't we? Shout-out to Franco Colapinto after binning it in qualifying. I still don't think we've seen any footage of this, but from what I gathered, he stalled in the pit lane, trying to accidentally launch the car in second gear, and immediately, obviously, it just turned itself off. So he got a casual DNS...
Yeah.
Which no one noticed.
Yeah, very amusing. And you know, if Sunday was a chance to recover his poor qualifying, then stalling it in the pit lane is not a great move.
No. Flavio Briatore, I'm sure, was not happy.
I wonder if
that.
He even got invited to the debrief. or if they were just like, nah, see you later, get Bottas in. Where is he?
Yeah, bring Bottas down for the debrief. Valtteri, would you have done this? No, I wouldn't. Congratulations, you're hired.
Yeah, that
fantastic.
Would be that. So that was one car out before the race even started. The race start was very amusing. With all, for whatever reason, it was only drivers on the left hand side of the grid as we looked at it.
Even number drivers all decided to pit, didn't they? I mean, we have Russell in, Leclerc in. I think Antonelli pit on like lap two. Bortoletto was in, Behrman was in, Hadjar was in. So it was like, one side of the grid had, I think, basically every single car. The other side had Oscar Piastri and, like, Esteban Ocon.
Yeah. It was very, very good. But the inters were definitely the right call.
For the launch,
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Oscar almost got the run on Max straight down to turn one, Hamilton, Verstappen-esque a few years ago. Gasly made a good start, got up to P5. And then it was just chaos behind, wasn't it? Because Lawson was admittedly unlucky.
Oh, extremely unlucky.
But it was kind of one of those... He was unlucky, but it was also his own fault.
How was it his fault?
He turned in when there were two cars on the inside. What
else could he do? He was on the outside of the track. Like, he had no...
Exactly. And if... I understand that he couldn't see there were two cars on his inside. But if the car on the inside of you hasn't turned in, it's not quite Rosberg at Austria 2016. You've just kind of got to avoid it.
Like, the whole fact
you cannot...
That,
You cannot completely count out the fact he was three wide on that one. You're like, you can't think, it definitely cannot happen.
It's unusual for that corner to be made three wide. I would put
I still don't know where Sonoda came from, to be completely honest.
I feel really bad for Lawson because I don't think it's his fault at all. He's not going to know.
Who else are you going to blame?
Sonoda. He shouldn't have made it three wide.
What do you mean? He's racing on lap one. He was on the inside.
2022, lap one, you had... Who was it? Verstappen and... I want to say it was Sainz on the front row. On the second restart, after red flag. And then Leclerc and Perez both dived down the inside of turn three at the same time. And basically had a crash.
Yep.
And in that situation, we didn't blame Verstappen and Sainz for turning in. Because how are they meant to know that someone's just jumped down the inside?
It was very different on a braking zone and a throttle. And the thing is, well, if you look at it, I mean, neither of us like Esteban Ocon, but you were kind of there going, he was a bit sandwiched in the middle.
Yeah, Ocon had
nothing to do there. But I'm pretty certain Sonoda was ahead of him as well.
Lawson was definitely the first ahead.
Lawson was definitely first, but I'm pretty certain in the end, Yuki was ever so slightly ahead of Esteban. Maybe. But by that point, Lawson had cut in so much that even if Ocon tried to back out of it, he was still going to be involved. Yeah. If anything, I said to my partner, I was like, Ocon's actually done a very good job there to make sure he's still in the race.
Yeah.
Just to get taken out by Ollie Bearman later on, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, I did feel for Lawson, but that gave us a safety car because he was out of the race.
Yep. Yep.
A virtual safety car at first, actually, wasn't it? And then as soon as it ended, Gabby Bortoletto on his slick tyres found a bit of wet patch in turn two, and that was that for him. So,
yep.
A bit of a shame, but I did say, I was watching with a group of friends, and before the race, I was like, all the rookies are going to crash here.
Yep.
And that was two out by,
by lap six.
Bortoletto did keep it going briefly and then stopped at the exit of Cops with a hanging off rear wing. So,
safety car. Because he would have been penalised horrendously if he tried to drag it back.
I mean, he got half a lap out of it, actually, didn't he? that's another safety car. I actually think Aston Martin, Lance Stroll, excellent strategy at this point in the race. Because
hilarious, wasn't it? Because they literally said to Alonso, it's going to rain again soon. And then literally as they say that, like, Stroll, pit now, do it.
Yeah, so Stroll was running, I think, ninth or something. Fit for soft tyres under the safety car. Dropped, I don't know, four places down to the front of the slick pack.
Basically said ahead of all the drivers at a pit at the start.
And then when the safety car pulled in, it was actually better. The pendulum had swung in favour of slick tyres. So Stroll was just absolutely flying on his slicks. He was up to, I think, P6, which is higher than he was before.
P5, I think, in the end.
And then by the time it started raining again, he was the first one to jump back onto Inters. And actually
So got a double cutback that way as well. So despite making two pit stops, it somehow gained time.
Position.
And Silverstone's a long pit lane as well.
Yeah.
So it was very impressive. I mean, whilst all that was going on, though, there was a good battle at the front, wasn't it? And I mean,
there was.
By the time we'd actually got racing laps on the board, it was very clear that Verstappen's car was useless.
I mean, he was rallying.
I'm pretty certain every lap he went opposite log on the exit of Magnus and Beckett's.
Crazy. It was a really, really cool shot on the cameras. But yeah, every time he went through 13 just before the hangar straight, he was just sliding like crazy. That Red Bull looked a handful. And sadly, Piastri didn't take long to get past. And then he managed to hold off Lando a bit longer, but then, as soon when he was driving on a dead inters on a dry track, the grip situation with no downforce got even worse. So just went off at Chapel.
Well, by that point, it was already absolutely hammering it down.
Oh, was that when it started raining, was it?
Yeah, it already started absolutely hammering it down again. Which, to be fair, actually, early on, Lando Norris was quite quiet, wasn't he? He dropped away. Like, Oscar rocketed out in front. And he wasn't even really challenging Max yet for a couple of laps.
As soon as he got, like, when Max went off and Lando passed him, I think the McLaren's pace kind of settled down a little bit and they were more similar. But even then, Piastri definitely was the quicker driver at this stage of the race. And the whole race was probably the quicker driver, to be honest.
Arguably so, yeah.
But yeah, lap 12, it started raining loads, classic British July. And... yeah, you had Nico Hülkenberg and Lance Stroll, and I believe that was it, who pit the lap before the rain started hammering down. And then they jumped from, P7 and 9, I think, up to, like, fourth and fifth when everyone else pit as well. Crazy stuff. And a very, very well-timed pit stop, so thank you very much, Sauber.
Yeah, they did very well in that sense. And of course, then again, we had another safety car. During that, though, obviously McLaren had to do a double stop because it was getting so damp. Lando's stop was a bit slow, so Max was immediately just given a freebie. And
also,
then,
people are claiming this safety car was needless. Oh, rubbish. It was a very needed safety car. That rain was horrendous down...
Yeah, 20 years ago, they would have let him try to battle it on until someone bit
it. You'd have ended up with
more...
But I think
someone was going to bin it pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was an aquaplane waiting to happen.
No. Well, and the thing is, well, you can always guarantee one driver's going to bin it, because has there ever been a worse combo than Charles Leclerc and a wet Silverstone?
Honestly, Charles Leclerc in some situations is just like the next Senna.
When he basically either is the next Senna or the next Nikita Mazepin.
Like, the fact, 2 years in a row now, he's just been driving a Ferrari at Silverstone in the wet.
And been 14th.
And absolutely horrendous. He had a terrible, terrible race. It never looked on for anything. And he started, well, I guess he didn't start 5th or 6th, did he? Because he pitted.
I mean, that formation lap should have been the sign, shouldn't it? That he was never going to work. Well, like, this whole race was going to be a disaster for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was lucky to keep going because he spanned through Maggots and Beckett's. And that then was like, yeah, safety car right now. Just get it out before someone has a big crash. And by the time that got... So race finally resumed on lap 18, so about one-third distance. And then we saw Lewis Hamilton trying to do his best through goes Hamilton impression. Because he got a little bit caught out behind Esteban Ocon down at turn one. George Russell jumped him. And then immediately at turn three, Hamilton went back around the outside of the pair of them.
Yeah, that was a great move, to be fair. And I don't think... Like, Ocon was on old tyres. He didn't pit. He was the only one who didn't pit for new inters.
And yeah.
So Russell and Hamilton were both going to fly past him. But how they didn't come together, because Ocon can't see a thing.
I thought Ocon was just going to understeer straight into Hamilton.
And like in that spray, you can't see a thing. And Ocon had a car on his inside and his outside and managed to be aware enough to not crash into either of them. So well done, Esteban Ocon. And well done, Lewis Hamilton. It was an excellent move around the outside. I'll give him that.
It was a brilliant move that kind of saved his race a little bit later on. Speaking about Frenchmen that couldn't see anything, though, Isaac Hadjar, second V-car bat of the day, down at Cops Corner. I mean, it was unlucky in that instance, but what that was, again, was a rookie mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he just completely cleaned out Kimi Antonelli.
It was unlucky, but he was like, I couldn't see him. Yes, it's lap one restart on a safety car. Of course there's a car ahead of you. Just give it a bit more margin, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Like, it's safe, man. This is a race where anything can happen.
The other 15 drivers didn't crash into the back of the car ahead.
Admittedly, because there was only three rookies left, but still.
Well, true. I don't think, was Behrman last at that point, so he has no one behind him?
No, Hadjar was last, I believe. Behrman was just ahead of the pair of them.
But yeah, another two rookies out of the race. Antonelli was innocent in that.
Again,
but it was
unlucky.
A bad crash for Hadjar. Like, just before Cops, high speed... Like, spun the car, went backwards into the wall. Pretty nasty, but he was fine. And, yeah, double retirement for the V-cars, sadly.
It was, yeah, a very disappointing day for them. And, then, I mean, this was somehow arguably the most controversial moment of the entire race, wasn't it? Because, obviously, on the next safety car restart, Oscar Piastri, he shot himself in the foot, didn't he?
I think
in many ways he was a tad unlucky to get a penalty for it. And I said to Jamie pre-show, if he'd done that at Melbourne, he wouldn't have got a penalty for it. But I think looking back, probably was a penalty, to be completely honest.
I think Piastri's not done himself any favours in the way that he's handled the whole thing. Because he's been sulking big time about this. And it's unfortunate. But the problem for him is they set a precedent in Canada with Russell doing the same thing. This is when you're braking on a safety car restart as the leader. You've got to just be gentle with it and not do anything erratic. And
yeah.
Yeah, in a low visibility race, in the wet. I do feel for him because the safety car lights went off very late. Like, he's only got Stowe to build up a gap. So he does have to go quite slowly, but just to slam on the brakes that much, I think they were saying on Sky, Russell did 30 PSI of brake pressure in Canada, and he didn't get a penalty. Piastri did something like 80.
60.
Yeah, is it 60? Which,
yeah,
like,
60, I'm pretty certain, thereabouts.
Yeah. So Verstappen did have to take avoiding action. I don't think... And Oscar saying, I don't think he did. You know, look at the replay. I don't know if he had seen a replay at that point, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it Oscar was... would have been absolutely fine if he literally just lifted off all the way down the straight and just coasted it into Stoke corner. But
And I was really worried looking at the lower half of the grid because Mugello 2020 was in my head. Where I really thought the Constantina effect would just catch someone out at the back.
Yeah, I remember saying, I was like, someone at the back's going to get taken out. But it was actually worse at the front, wasn't it? Because a lot of drivers hadn't been able to speed up yet properly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So... he got a penalty for it. I mean, I think it's a fair cop. And, yeah.
Unlucky, but fair.
What I did love was in the cooldown room, when before Norris got there, when Piastri and Hulkenberg were just sat watching, Hulk was asking, what were you doing, basically? And Piastri was like, I just broke. And then Hulk was like, yeah, but it did cause some problems lower back. I was a bit worried. And then Piastri just sat there in silence. It's like Hulkenberg's just telling him that it was a fair penalty. It was amazing.
Yeah. I'm on the podium now. I have a right to speak about this.
Yeah. So good.
I mean, the good thing was, though, at least in my personal opinion, obviously from all of this, was that Max then immediately binned it by himself afterwards.
It was a bit sad, but he basically got rage baited.
I'm not even sure he got rage bait. I just think that car at that point was so bad.
And he didn't have a chance to pull his tyres up, because it was such a late restart.
No.
It was silly from Max, but I don't think he was going to win the race. So
no, absolutely not. To be honest, I think he probably finished fifth anyway. Yeah. He might have beaten Hulkenberg, actually, but still.
He probably would have come third. But you know what? I'll take a Max error in this situation.
Yeah, you're winning for the good of the cause.
Exactly. That raised Lance Stroll into a podium position.
It did, which was a scary prospect.
Would have been very amusing. Not if Hulkenberg was fourth, obviously. But yeah, the race kind of settled down. This is no more safety cars, no more rain.
No more safety cars, no more rain. So it was just then the circuit was very, very slowly drying out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we did still get quite, obviously, I mean, it's Silverstone, isn't it? We did still get quite a lot of action from then on.
Oh, yeah.
DRS would be enabled, lap 35, and that would move Hulkenberg up into P3.
And from that point onwards,
Jamie suddenly was just there, clinging to his chair.
I was like, curled up like a ball on the sofa, like, what? I can't watch this.
I mean, Hamilton was right on their tail as well. But by lap 40, it was kind of that weird thing, wasn't it? Where the dry tyres was the one to go on. But you were always better pitting a lap after the car in front because it was so difficult to try and get temperature into the rubber, which ultimately would be Hamilton's unravelling because he would go one lap earlier than Hulk and basically obviously lose more time by pitting a lap earlier.
Yeah, and he made an error on his outlap as well.
He made an error on his outlap as well, which didn't help, and then made another one a couple of laps later that we never saw.
I loved the Hamilton coming out of the pits. So Leclerc was on... Inters still, I want to say.
Yes, yeah, he was.
Leclerc went flying off the outside of turn two, and then one corner later, Hamilton went flying off at turn three, and then Leclerc...
Flying off is a bit extreme, but
he went wide, didn't he? And then Leclerc absolutely dropped 3 seconds on him on the outlap on Inters. And then they pit Leclerc anyway.
So bizarre, isn't it?
It's just
mental. Genuinely, I think they pit about lap 40, didn't they? I think McLaren pit lap 44. I'm surprised no one tried to gamble it, sticking on the interstate. I don't think it would have worked, but I'm staggered nobody tried it. If you were like in P11 or something.
At the point the McLaren's pit, I think the drives were definitely quicker. But yeah, I think everyone pit a bit early. But it's like, what race was it? Maybe it was Melbourne or one of the previous wet-to-dry races where like everyone knew that the inters were better. But because everyone else pit for dries, you might as well
pit for
dries. You kind
of don't want to get screwed.
Because...
Yeah.
You're going to be ahead of the car
behind
you.
Safety in numbers almost, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, the risk of, we might gain time, but we might lose loads. You might as well do the same thing as the car behind you if you've got something to protect. So, yeah, I was very scared when Hulkenberg was, a second and a half ahead of Hamilton on the inters with DRS enabled. But thankfully, the Ferrari was even worse than the Sauber somehow in the wet conditions. Or maybe the driver skill came
I think Hamilton had just screwed over his tyres. It honestly seemed like that Sauber was the second best car on tyres.
No. Maybe
behind
on
McLaren.
Aston Martin
that's
awful.
What I mean. In terms of looking after the rubber, which again, you know, Hülkenberg's got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
So fair play. I was thinking about this after the Grand Prix. I genuinely think Hülkenberg was arguably the only driver that was consistently very good all day.
He didn't really make any errors. He was pretty terrible on Saturday.
No, but we're talking about just about Sunday.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those ones where everybody else had some kind of error or mistake, and Hülkenberg just, you know, again, 15 years of experience, proved it and kind of reaped the rewards, didn't he?
Pierre Gasly was also very good, but just the
Pierre Gasly was very good as well.
Car pace wasn't quite there. But the last five laps, or however long it was, like 10 laps to the end on the dries, I was just like, I wanted that race over. I was like, end the race now. I just wanted like lap 49 just to someone to crash and give me an easy safety car to the finish.
Well, Haas almost managed it, didn't they? Because Behrmann, I do not understand how Behrmann was the only rookie to finish this race, because I'm pretty certain every time we saw him, he was either having a crash or spinning.
Yeah.
Like, I love the guy. He's great. But he had a terrible race to finish.
He really did. And he was a bit unlucky. Like, he had one of his best qualifying sessions ever, didn't he? But that 10 place penalty completely screwed him. And then, Haas have had this before with Magnussen and Grosjean back in the day in 2019.
Yeah.
Crashing at that exact corner, or just the corner before, wasn't it, actually?
It was, yeah.
And yeah, the synchronized spinning was very well executed. If you haven't seen it, very satisfying double pirouette from the Haases.
Yep. All caused by Behrmann, to be fair. He tried to outbreak Ocon on the wet stuff.
On the wet, on slicks. Like, that's going to go well, isn't it, Ollie?
bit of a disaster there. But I mean, Lando Norris, though, obviously because Oscar served his penalty, would take the victory. Oscar then was about 30 seconds up the road, but everybody was cheering Nico Hülkenberg. But even I was cheering Hülkenberg by the end. Gutted that Hamilton couldn't get another podium, because I think it would have been good to see.
If anyone's going to stop Hamilton's podium streak at home,
It had to
Everyone's a Hülkenberg fan, even if they don't say they are, then they are.
Exactly. In this instance, absolutely. Max then still recovered a P5 in the end after a good final blast. It kind of felt like the car came back to him right towards the end. Just ahead of Gasly, who got the jump on Stroll on the very last lap as well. Albon in P8 ahead of Alonso. George Russell then picking up one solitary point for Mercedes on a day to forget.
Race
of the season, Jamie? Yeah, Russell did have a weird race.
Like, he was always trying gambles on strategy that didn't work, and he...
Yeah.
Yeah,
strange. He basically would get back to the points and then make a poor strategy choice.
Yeah.
So he'd be back down in, like, P13. Recovered to P10.
Was very good.
I can't remember what we gave Australia, because you still haven't gone back through and got us the data.
You know what, though? Obviously, I'm biased, but we didn't have much jeopardy for the race win. That was a shame.
But apart from that, behind. Like, McLaren just controlled this.
But even if there wasn't the penalty involved, and you had a McLaren fight instead, that would have elevated it to a 10. But I will give it a 9.
It's got to be a 9 or a 9.5, surely. Like, it was a very good race.
It was extremely, extremely good. And obviously, I just can't stop smiling every time I think about the podium finish. I'm very
sad. It did
sad.
Make me chuckle. The first podium Nico Hülkenberg ever gets, and I could literally build that trophy at home if I wanted to.
Well, yeah.
For those of you who didn't see, it was a Lego trophy.
And Lando Norris's trophy was so nice. It's the classic golden British Grand Prix trophy.
Well, it had to be, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other two were given Lego. And Nico, and theirs are both terrible. But, you know, as he said in the presser, at least his daughter can play with it. So,
exactly.
That's all that matters.
Exactly. That is the important bit at the end of the day. It does now mean, though, I'm pretty certain in the last 5 years since the turn of 2020, every team apart from Haas has had a podium now, if I'm not mistaken.
I'd imagine so.
I'm trying to think.
Since Haas debuted, everyone has. I know that, so I wonder what...
I know since Haas debuted, but I'm pretty certain, obviously, Williams have only had a penalty. No, they had a podium in 2017 as well, but I know they had a podium in 2020. 2021 even, wasn't it? Yeah, so obviously Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren obviously all have comfortably. Yeah. Aston Martin obviously have comfortably. They haven't had a bunch, but they've had obviously Gasly win. Did he?
Yeah. Brazil, Baku.
That was 2019. I'm talking 2020 onwards.
But Baku and, yeah. and Monza were both.
Yeah. Yeah. Alpine obviously have.
Yeah.
Obviously Sauber now have.
I mean, most of them have won a race.
Williams have. Exactly, yeah. When are Haas going to get that podium, man?
They will eventually.
I want to see him get it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning. I'm ever so slightly scared that Cadillac coming in is going to screw over one team in the same way as Haas coming in completely killed Manor.
Maybe. Yeah.
They yeah, need but to I, re-sign
the Sauber celebrations
money.
Were so, so good. Like, they've not had a podium in 13 years since Kamui Kobayashi.
That's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
I loved that they didn't have any champagne. They don't take champagnes to the race because why
no,
would they?
No,
and then exactly. Both Aston Martin and Mercedes. Did you see the really sweet Mercedes PR woman took a bag
yes,
of champagne down
yeah.
to the Sauber yeah. PR woman and they had a nice little moment. So that was sweet. I could, yeah, I was just, honestly, I was watching so much Formula One content yesterday. I watched the entire press conference with the podium finishes.
Hulkenberg
not
those
knowing
great moments,
to take
it?
His helmet up to Park Fermé.
Yes, yeah.
He's like, what do I
yeah,
do
he's going to get
never,
disqualified for that.
I've never got this far.
It was like Antonelli getting that pole position in Miami, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just like, no
what
idea
do?
What
do
to do. It is those wholesome moments, though, isn't it? It's why yeah, you love the sport
why you
at the end
the
of the day.
So good.
Exactly. Exactly. And, well, we now know as well, don't we, Jamie, that Audi next year are going to be terrible. Hulkenberg's
yeah.
had that podium.
You know what?
Now.
I was saying, I literally don't care. I said, if Hulkenberg retired tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, he got his podium.
Yeah.
When he
and
came
poor
back,
poor old
in,
Adrian Sutil goes back in the
yeah.
Record books.
Well done, Adrian Sutil.
15 years, or not quite, 10 years after he left the sport. He's
yeah.
back in the books.
Back in the history books. When Hulkenberg retired and, well, got kicked out in 2019, I was sad for like a month. Genuinely, when he lost to
Seat, yeah,
Renault.
Yeah. I mean, thinking this is the thing, like, as well, with more modern Formula One fans, like, I there were so many people that couldn't kind of appreciate how special of a moment this was. Hulkenberg really has been, you know, obviously, you know, had a lot of backing. I think his family are pretty well off anyway, weren't they? So
but
he wasn't quite
driver.
Like it. He was early on to a certain
but he
degree.
Got second
he,
year
he was
in
backed
one, he
by
got
quite a few German companies.
He got replaced by a pay driver in his second year. In
he did get replaced by, yeah, Maldonado. But to come back from so many career resets
yeah.
and never give up. I mean, 239
oh, yeah.
Grand Prix, 242 event
entries.
Yeah. It
yeah.
is
it's a fairy
staggering.
Tale.
You know,
at 37
more than
years
double
old.
The races. Exactly. It's so. It was just a feel good moment, wasn't it?
It really was.
As we
yeah.
said, it's why you love to watch Formula One.
Yeah. And I. Yeah. He's just such a professional as well. He wasn't. Like, Norris was cheering and screaming on the radio. Like, fair enough. He just won. And he's a younger driver. So that's kind of his thing. Hulkenberg
and
was
home
like,
race.
Yeah, exactly. Hulkenberg was like, sweet. Knew he could do it.
he
was
emotional,
so
though, as well, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
He was like, you know, I can't believe what we've just done. You know, that
and
is.
Gabby on the radio, Bortoletto, was
yeah.
a lovely message.
I mean, Hulkenberg's yeah. last three podiums are the 2025 British Grand Prix, the 2015 Le Mans 24 Hours, and the 2009 GP2 race at Portimao
yeah.
in September 2009.
Yeah.
Like, it has been crazy.
Yeah,
hasn't
mental.
It?
He still remembers how to spray champagne, so that was good. Although the McLarens forgot to spray him back. That was a bit sad.
Yeah, like, McLaren ruined that for
they,
him as well.
It was
well.
A bit
like,
sad, wasn't it? And he walked up to him twice, and he like,
of...
come on.
Yeah, exactly. Celebrate this moment for me. It exactly. was given Thiago Montero in the 2005 fight, except for Hulkenberg deserved
it. Actually deserved it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent, excellent stuff. And I will be watching the highlights of that race
for years to come.
As long as I am a Formula One fan.
it is impressive, isn't it? The fact that 2 years in a row, we've both been able to celebrate ridiculous Silverstone moments on this podcast.
Yeah.
Like moments that neither of us thought we were going to see happening again.
Yeah.
He's that also has been quite special.
More podiums than Lewis Hamilton this season now.
He has! Oh,
yeah.
Man. So, yeah, I mean, come on. If Ferrari don't give us anything for 26, then, yeah. That the Hamilton depression era is fully engaged. Driver yeah. of the day, Jamie.
I wonder
Hulk,
who this will be.
you cannot give it to Hulk. 19th to 3rd would have been an incredible drive in any car.
Let
never mind.
Second slowest. Well, maybe
is it second slowest though anymore?
I don't know. Who knows?
It is. They're just getting a run of form.
Yeah.
Now they're going. You know, they're up to seventh, aren't they? Now in
sixth.
The constructors.
Sixth in the
sixth is it? They could legitimately challenge Williams if they can keep this momentum going.
They could indeed.
Which would be staggering.
And Hulk
but again, it just gives so much hype for Audi to fail next year.
Hulk
which is
ninth
scary.
In the Drivers' Championship after driving a tractor for about six races.
Yeah. Just vibes, isn't it? Straight vibes.
Yeah.
We love to see it.
Completely. I will also give it to Nico Hulkenberg from 19th on the grid. I just can't believe it's like the amount of times he's been best at a rest in qualifying, best at a rest in the race, and finished 7th or 9th. Or like, and then
or 11th.
And he qualifies
2023.
Yeah, true. Qualifying 19th place behind his teammate. He had a terrible Saturday.
Yep. Just well, they're 6 for 6 so far in qualifying.
Yeah, I know. He's not doing that well in quali against Bortoleto. But it doesn't matter. He got P3. Who cares?
Exactly.
And holding off Lewis Hamilton. And the poetic justice of, well, not justice, it was 2012 when he should have really got a win.
Here you go, yeah, bring it
back. He should have really got a win in Brazil when Timo
he took out Lewis.
Didn't get out of the way.
Yeah.
He took out Lewis and lost his win. Still finished 5th that race. And it all comes around 13 years later. He's holding off Lewis for a win. For a podium, sorry. Yeah. I'm getting carried away now.
Yeah, I was going to say. Not quite sure that one's right. You can keep dreaming, sir, on that one. Yeah, like I said, so we've done race rate. We've done driver of the day. Have you got a quiz, Jamie? I assume this is going to be Hulkenberg themed.
It kind of is. So he is the first German on the podium. Since which race?
I was going to say, not since ever. Vettel Baku?
Indeed. Baku 2021, that was.
Yeah.
So you've got to name the point scorers from that race. If you get one wrong, it's done.
Oh.
That was a weird race as well. I'll give you
that was a weird race, wasn't it? Because I know for a fact Verstappen didn't score, Hamilton didn't score, Bottas didn't score. Neither of the Hasses scored. I'm basically trying to count who didn't
score didn't.
At this rate. That already gives me 5 that didn't. Perez won that race.
Indeed.
Vettel obviously scored. He was on the podium.
Yep.
Who was on the podium with them, though? Leclerc, I think, got pole.
He did. Did he score points, though?
He can't not have, surely. I know he's had like a ridiculous record of poles, but I don't think he's binned it that many times in Baku. Yeah, because it was 22 the engine blew up, or 23 for one of the for both Ferraris,
both
wasn't
Ferraris,
it, that weekend?
Yeah,
but that was ground effect. So I got Perez, I got Seb.
Yep, 2 out of 10 so far.
2 out of 10. I'm going to say Charles.
Yep, he did, P4.
Yeah. Oh, Charles was P4?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to assume Sainz scored?
8th place, just about.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else was on the podium that race. It was Perez, Seb, and... I genuinely can't remember who was on the podium.
We've actually mentioned him in this podcast.
I'm sure we have. Was it like Lando or someone like that?
Lando was 5th.
Yeah, Lando was 5th. It wasn't Adrian Sutil. I know we've mentioned him. Oh, was it? No, was it Gasly?
Yes, it was Pierre Gasly in the AlphaTauri.
Yeah, he did do very well.
So
there,
you got the top 5 and 8th.
I got the top 5 and 8th. I feel like I'm going to say Ricciardo, but I feel like he then didn't score.
Yeah, Ricciardo was 9th. There you go.
Okay. Say, this was Tsunoda's debut season. It was quite late on in the year, so I think he might have scored.
Is that an answer?
No? Maybe if it's right?
He did score points in 7th place.
He did, okay. Okay.
I think that was his first points, was it not?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, because Baku was still...
Baku was quite early that year? It was around 8, I want to say, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. It was early on in the European leg.
It was his second, but he got points on debut, Tsunoda. Second points finish.
I would say, yeah. 2021, obviously, Sauber was still terrible then.
They're still terrible now, just...
Yeah. Did Williams score? Did Russell score in all the chaos? That was Russell and Latifi that year. I don't think so then. Because I know Latifi got his only points or first points.
There's only two left.
Yeah, I know. And I've already named five that I know didn't. Because Mercedes had a stinker. Haas obviously were terrible all year. And obviously Max didn't score. I'm trying to think. That's a really worrying one. But I think I'm just forgetting like a midfield. Like, did Alonso score?
Yeah, Alonso came sick. That's one.
Yes, say Alonso. Oh, there you go, Alonso. Was it Ocon?
One Ocon? No, he was out on lap three. But it was Kimi Raikkonen in the Sauber.
Oh yeah, of course. I had in my head for some reason it was already Bottas and Zhou, despite the fact I already know Bottas did terribly in the Mercedes.
Yeah, Bottas was driving a Mercedes. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
And still didn't score.
Still didn't score
in some of the worst racecraft we've ever seen.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was awful, actually. That was like what gave Russell the seat for 22, really, wasn't it? But there you
Pretty
go.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's been 4 years since a German stood on the podium. So
that's quite staggering when you consider their record. Like, I know for a long time they never had a champion. But yeah. You think the 21st century has been dominated by German and Brits and Dutch, basically, now.
Yeah.
So it is quite impressive that it's been 4 years since a German podium. It kind of feels like, obviously, apart from Hülkenberg, have we got any other Germans on the grid this year? We don't, do
no.
we? It kind of feels like Germany are in a bit of a slump right now. Because you're kind of looking at like Formula 2 and Formula 3. There's none there that are particularly great, are you?
Like, Larim Zandelli was the last kind of young one, but he's not very good.
He was terrible, yeah. You got Ollie Goethe.
Yeah, Goethe, I don't think he's F1 caliber, really, is he?
No,
so
probably not.
It's really the era of Britain. And you kind of see it goes, drivers coming through kind of track 10 years behind whoever's winning in F1, generally. So
yeah, it's normally a 10-15 year wait,
like,
isn't it?
Early 2010s, we had six Germans on the grid because of Schumacher winning in the early 2000s. Now you've got
But then we
have
Seb dominating.
Yeah, I suppose. But Seb was never like... He was obviously good, but it was a bit... I'm going to get slated for this. It was slightly down to the car. And
what champion doesn't win because of the car? Seb, I think it's very easy to remember Seb's absolute terrible second half of his career, but he was still very good.
He was very good in a good car.
In those cars. He just couldn't handle turbos.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But all it's all Brits coming through at the moment, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah, there are... I mean, there are a few various ones as well, isn't it? But, yeah, it seems like... It's always the case, though, isn't it? It's like, you know, you get, like, dominant eras for, like, the Dutch, with Max, obviously, of course, and the Germans and everything like that. But there are always going to be Brits right there. You know, we can get a little bit patriotic because it was the British Grand Prix, but we just have a system that is built up to get drivers to Formula 1 because it's so competitive here, because it's so popular here.
Yeah, and everyone's a Formula 1 fan.
Exactly. What else? Predictions recap, I suppose, is the last thing we're going to do, Jamie.
Surprisingly, neither of us.
Did we either predict a Hulk podium?
I'm not sure I've ever predicted a Hulk podium.
I think
podcast.
We would have been mad to.
So, before the race,
next,
it was 34.
Next week.
34 to 28 in my favour, so that's a good start. You said you actually did quite well, annoyingly.
I thought I was going to go 6 for 6 in the race.
You said
on.
Lando Norris on pole position. Incorrect.
Didn't happen. Yep.
Lando Norris race win, 2 points.
Yep.
Oscar Piastri second place, 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, you could always see it, couldn't you?
Yeah. I mean,
well, you couldn't, but I could.
Piastri shouldn't have messed up under the safety car, should he?
No, no, he shouldn't.
And Lewis Hamilton third, which actually, you weren't far off. If Hamilton could drive a Ferrari better, then he would have been.
Exactly. If Hamilton was back in the Mercedes, that would have been the podium.
Oh, yeah. I said that to my mate Alex. Like, if Hamilton was driving a Mercedes, he would have been so far ahead of the Sauber.
Yeah.
Got very lucky that he's still getting used to that Ferrari in the rain. So that's 4 points.
So that's 4 points for me. So I'm clawing it back.
George Russell would get pole, which didn't happen.
Optimistic, but,
I said George
Russell
fair
statement
win.
After Saturday. It's stupid.
Well, if it, you know, if the drive car works at the start, then you never know.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Lando Norris second place is 1 point, and Max Verstappen third is.
Oh,
points.
You can't keep sticking up for a bottle job, Jamie.
Well, you put Hamilton on the podium.
Yeah, he finished fourth. He beat Max in a worse
Max finished
car.
Fifth. That
he
Red
beat
Bull
Max in a
worse
car. No, it wasn't. The Ferrari's fourth best car at the moment.
35, and you're up to 32. It's closing up.
I'm happy, I'm happy to close the gap a little bit.
Midway through the season. Sprint race next week, or next
week. After the sprint in Belgium, we've officially done half the races and half the sprints.
Yeah.
Which feels like it has kind of flown by, but
it
these
really
next 2 weeks are going to feel
And we've got
long,
a good championship fight, so...
Exactly. Yeah, I think Oscar will need to regroup.
Is the fifth most points in the last four races.
That's quite impressive. It's an obscure stat, but it's quite impressive,
I think,
for
him. I've done the math myself, so it's the McLarens, Russell and Leclerc have got more points than Hülkenberg.
That's quite impressive.
In the last four
quite
races.
Impressive.
He's outscored Red Bull on his own. Going.
He has outscored Red Bull by himself, which is quite impressive. Max, is, I think, has just given up.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have plenty to talk about with that, aren't we? Yeah. Over the next few weeks. Have we got anything else to add, though, Jamie? I think we've rattled through everything pretty well. It was a slightly longer show.
A memorable.
Get yourself subscribed, people. We're 30 subs away from 1K, which is, as soon as we get to 1K and we stay there, we're not going to moan anymore. Because after that, like, yes, obviously, we'll still want to bring more subscribers in, but we're not so worried. But a massive thank you to everybody for listening, as always, you know, for being here from, you know, Hülkenberg not on the grid to back on the podium. It really has been a roller coaster.
It really has been a roller coaster.
But we're not going anywhere anytime soon. We're going to hit the quarter century very, very soon as well. But yeah, Jamie and I will return. It might be later on next week. It might be next week. We've got a couple of break weeks now. So we might just return kind of when there's big news. We don't know just yet. But yeah, as always, with more Knowing Wheel.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.